think the president will have to take a bit of drastic action, probably, to tighten the measures at the Ministry of Health, where this money was embezzled from, where we can have a boost of confidence from the donor community that they are medical aid. And it will have to take a lot of effort from the current government to ensure that they tighten up the noose and ensure that the money is not embezzled. Probably that is most likely when we are going to see their international donor partners to revert back to give them some money.
Some type of investigation is going to proceed here. That aside, do you have any feelings how Zambian officials could have gotten away with embezzling $2 million of public funds?
You know, in the past, the Zambian government had a system where every time the money was given to a certain ministry or department, once that money was used, expenditure was being published in the press so that the people would actually see how the money was used. But what happened was, during the reign of late President Mwanawasa, some controlling officers within certain ministries complained that the people were putting us under pressure. We failed to publish certain expenditures. So Mr. Mwanawasa then suspended the publication of expenditures, and this meant that nobody would follow how the money was used after it was donated. Lack of publication of these expenditures may have led to a syndicate of a few individuals to have allegedly diverted or siphoned this huge amount of money from state to coffers.
How do you expect the government to proceed with the investigation into how this money disappeared?
Definitely they will have to ensure that there is a lot of transparency into it, considering that this is a high-class racket where over 20 people are involved, a lot of high-profile people involved, but we are not told names. There's a lot of senior officials from the Department of Health. I'm sure they'll have to put in place some form of a fast-track probe team that is going to probe this issue as quickly as possible, that probably Zambia would win back the confidence that it is most likely losing in the donor community.
Now, Sweden and the Netherlands have a long record of being donors to help impoverished countries, especially in the health sector. These donors have decided to withhold $33 million out of a total donor support of $120 million. What sectors of Zambia's health funding are expected to be most jeopardized?
Most likely to be straightforward. Issues to do with HIV and AIDS are likely to be affected, and these are mostly targeted people. The rural poor, the people that are most likely in the rural areas, are likely to be affected by this move. And, you know, we have already heard from the briefing that was held yesterday, there was a brief that by the Ministry of Finance, where they were saying that most likely to be affected is the HIV and AIDS program, and the government is likely to cut and derail, sustain some of the project in order to fund the supplement funds towards issues to do with HIV and AIDS. You know, HIV is one of the most critical issues in sub-Saharan Africa, Zambia included. So we are likely to see a lot of big impact getting to hit on programs or projects that are related to HIV and AIDS, especially in the rural areas.
Now, Zambia's Minister of Finance, Situmbeko Musokotwane, says that the government will be working out a contingent plan to bridge the aid shortfall. Do you think that it's possible to cover funds to make up for the vulnerability of the poorest of the poor who need the funds the most to keep healthy from AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis?
I don't think so. You know, every time a government sets up its own development agenda, and there is this sudden freeze in donor funds, it basically derails part of their program. So I don't think, even if they were to sustain certain projects, it would mean that they will have to revert certain resources from, say, point A to point B, which does not really have to be the case. And even if they were to sustain certain projects just because they want to supplement or to cushion the impact of this donor freeze, it will not help them in any way, because the funds were budgeted for certain projects and they'll have now to pushing to tighten up their budget, which means it will have to affect the way they implement their project that they have rolled out in the beginning of the year. So it will not help in any way if they were to cut certain projects just because they want to question what has happened right now in Zambia.
But when the finance minister says that the aid that is being cut helps the poorest of the poor in Zambia, does that mean that the government will make the poor suffer the most, or will it want to compensate so that the poorest will not fall through a government safety net?
For every government, the responsibility to ensure that the people have got access to services, basic health services, are protected from given the necessary requirements and needs. So I don't really think that it will be responsible for the government to let its people suffer. But what has happened is something that is not going to make it easier for the government to provide for its people. So it will have to take a lot of effort and maybe time to ensure that the poor of the poorest in Zambia's rural areas, especially in the far-flung areas, are not affected by this. But the fact of the matter is that what has happened wasn't expected, so it will mean that the people have to suffer.
Yes, but if they could direct it so that middle-income people might have to endure some of the cuts, wouldn't that help protect more of the poorer people who stand the most to lose?
You're right, it would happen that way. Say the middle-income were to partially suffer, but every person, depending on their standing within the economy, is that they have their own problems, they have their own needs as well. So even if they were to, for example, take part of the cut, say they do wage freeze from public service, then they send it into the rural poor, it would mostly affect the middle income in an effort to try to cushion the impact that would happen to the rural poor. So it is a two-way street, in my own opinion, that even if they were to cut, for example, part of the financing to mid-income public service pay workers, for example, then try to channel it over to the poor of the poorest. Mostly in certain ways, you know, the middle-income personnel would also feel the crunch because they also have their own needs depending on what they earn within their ranking in society.
What does this cutoff in aid mean politically for President Rupia Banda, who has been criticized for being soft on corruption compared to his predecessor, Levy Mwanawasa?
Well, this is some kind of a test case for Mr. Banda, because when Mr. Banda was campaigning just after the death of the late president, Levy Mwanawasa, he put up a strong commitment that he was going to tackle corruption, something that Levy Mwanawasa had stood against strongly. It really is a blow to his government, because you will have to ensure that he puts up a very strong, transparent, and fast-track program that is going to win back confidence from the donor community and the rest of Zambians. To say those in opposition, maybe they might just change their approach towards the criticism that has been channeled towards his government. So you have to put in a very strong fight. And it means for me that Mr. Banda has to put in place a very strong team of committed people that are anti-graft, so that this issue is brought to the fore as quickly as possible, and he wins probably some form of stability from the donor community as well as the Zambian people.
Have any of Mr. Banda's opponents, namely the former candidate Michael Sata, among others, spoken out to capitalize on Banda's unfortunate circumstances revolving around this scandal?
There have been a lot of criticism, especially within the press, the private press. A lot of sentiments have come from his main rival in the last election. Michael Sata has said a whole lot of it, as well as civil society. So he's directing his Ministry of Finance to add additional resources to institutions such as the Anti-Corruption Commission, the police, the Drug Enforcement Commission, as well as other investigating wings. So Michael Sata, yes, indeed, is an outspoken person that has always criticized the current government, and he's definitely going to capitalize on this. And I'm sure Mr. Banda wouldn't want somebody to make him look as though he's not working. So it's really something that the Zambian government is trying to look at. It's part of the criticism and the massive pressure, especially from the opposition as well as civil society. You know, Zambia, civil society is quite vocal in Zambia, and they can influence change overnight in this country.